Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue in our series that we started last week, looking at the letter of 1 John. So I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So John starts this next section of the letter with this important statement. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. According to a survey carried out by the bed company, Benson for Beds, 47% of British adults are afraid of the dark. 46% of adults leave a light on while they go to sleep to help them cope with the dark. And 38% have a bedtime routine that includes them instinctively checking behind doors, under beds and in wardrobes. This demonstrates that for many people, darkness is associated with fear and a sense of something bad and evil. There is a sense of powerlessness that comes with darkness, as we don't know what might be lurking in the dark or what dangers we might stumble into. Because I have lived in London for most of my life, which always seems to have some kind of light visible, I often forget how difficult it is in true darkness. I sometimes get a sense of it when I'm driving and suddenly get to a section of the road with no street lamps, and I find it really unsettles me to be driving into what feels like a wall of incoming blackness. It seems this association of darkness with fear and evil is instinctive to us as humans, and John uses this demonstration that to show that in God there is no darkness because he is light. Notice that John doesn't say God is a light, or even that God is the light. Instead, it says God is light, light itself in all its fullness. He is the source of all light, the fountain from which light overflows. But what does this mean? What does John mean by this statement? And how do we live based on this statement? The fact that God is light has a number of implications for us as we understand more about John's letter. And it has implications for the way in which we live as we are called to walk in the light. So firstly, one of the first implications is that light is used as a metaphor for goodness, purity, truth, holiness, reliability, righteousness. An example of this in the Bible is found in Proverbs 4 verse 18, which says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." And again in Matthew 5 verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Light has been associated with goodness in Greek philosophies as well. Plato likened the sun in the visible world to the good in the world of ideas, emphasising light as a metaphor for truth and righteousness. Thus, it is a familiar concept for John's readers, whether Jewish or Gentile, for light to be associated with goodness. So when John says God is light, he is stating clearly that God is not just good, but he is the source of goodness, purity and holiness. His very essence is righteous. God is completely, unreservedly holy and good. He cannot be anything but, as his very nature is made of goodness. This is an important implication both for John's original readers at the time and for us in the present day. This is because our moral framework must come from God. Our concept of what is right and wrong, of that which is good and that which is sinful, must come from God, because he is goodness. He is all righteousness. And as such, we cannot say anything is bad that God calls good, or call something good that God states is bad. This was clearly something that the false teachers were influencing the church with. In verse 10, John says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." As we mentioned last week, these false teachers believed in the philosophy of Gnosticism, and one way that it could be interpreted was that anything was permissible in the body, because only spirit matters, and so the body is irrelevant. And of course, this was the more popular interpretation, because it meant that people could do whatever they liked. And so the Gnostics were convincing Christians that they didn't have to follow any kind of moral code. They could do what they liked as long as they acknowledged God in their spirit. And this was leading to immoral, sinful behaviour, a lack of care for community, and a general breakdown of the loving Christian community that is the church. While today we may not have Gnostics providing false teaching to the church, we still wrestle with moral dilemmas in the church. It's easy to allow our own desires, peers, friends, family, society, even technology, to influence us and cause us to question God's ways. But John reminds us that God is the source of all goodness and righteousness. If we want to know if something is good or bad, we need to bring it to God and seek his wisdom. What does it mean for us to practically walk in the light of God's goodness? It means that we need to trust in his righteousness, to know there is no darkness in him. Having a knowledge that goodness comes from God, that means we know when we are turning away from what God says. And that leads us to the next point. Because the second implication that comes from John's statement that God is light is one of revelation. Light reveals what is hidden. When we enter a dark room, we cannot know what is there. But when we turn on the light, what was hidden is now revealed. God sees what we tried to hide in the dark. In Psalm 139, David asks himself, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And then he states, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." David acknowledges what John also asserts, that God can see what we try to hide in the dark. While the darkness conceals things to our human eyes, God is light, and so everything is revealed to him. I'm sure there are things in all of our lives that we would be horrified if people knew about, perhaps secret sins that we think no one knows. Yet even if no human knows the darker parts of you, God does know. His light reveals what we hope to keep in the dark. Light exposes whatever is hidden, whether good or bad. We cannot deceive God, even if we are able to deceive ourselves and others. And this is what the people that John was writing to were doing, or at least trying to do. Last week, when we started John's first letter, we saw that John was writing because there were people in the church who had begun believing in a different message. They believed they had a secret knowledge that made them superior, that only the spirit was good and all physical matter was bad. And as I've already said, it was clear that they were following that idea that whatever pleases the body they could do, because physical things were evil anyway, and so the physical realm is irrelevant. Only the spiritual matters. But how do we know that this is what they were following? Well, we know because of John's clear focus on the reality of sin. He says to them in verse 6, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." And John really wanted to hammer at this point home, as he says again in verse 8, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The people who were believing that they weren't sinning, or that God didn't care about their sin, were deceiving only themselves, and they certainly were not successful at pulling the wool over God's eyes. There are sins that we know we are trying to hide from God, but there are times where we've gotten so used to our sins that we don't even think we are sinning anymore. Now, I know I think I've told you this before, but when I was younger, I was so good at lying and did it so often that I stopped recognising it. My parents had to teach me to admit when I had done something wrong, to the point that I used to say, "Oh, yes, I've done that wrong thing, but at least I'm telling you the truth, so you can't be angry." I'd gotten so used to lying, that I stopped realising I was doing something wrong and had to be retaught. We can all get so used to sinning in one way or another that we stop realising what is sinful in the first place. But God's light reveals. So when we think we're all good and perfect and everything's going okay, God's light reveals what is really going on in our lives. So God's light shines in the darkness and gives us purity and goodness. And God's light reveals what is in the darkness. But the third implication to John's statement that God is light is for me the most wonderful. We have access to light through Jesus. John says in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." What beautiful words. Because we have been cleansed, purified by the blood of Jesus, we are able to walk in the light of God. Jesus came as the light of the world so that God could communicate his nature to us and welcome us into his light. Because of Jesus, God's light shines on us. I've had a picture that God has shown me that I keep coming back to time and time again because it speaks such truth and comfort to me. This picture is of me walking down a set of stairs and all around me is pitch black. The only thing that is lit up is the step that I'm on, the step that I've just walked from, and the step that is ahead of me. And it's a picture that reminds me that there might be lots of uncertainty and darkness around me. I might be feeling like I don't know where I'm going or I can't see the way ahead. But it reminds me that when I walk in God's light, I can always see the step that I'm on, the place I've just been, and the next step ahead of me, because God shines his light on us and guides us. Even if we can't see the whole path, even if we can't see everything ahead of us, God does give us the next step. We can walk in his light, knowing his comfort, his guidance, his goodness with us every moment of the day. Because of Jesus, we have access to the presence of God with us at all times. We can find God's light shining on us whenever we turn to look at him, because Jesus has forgiven us. Verse 9 reminds us that if we ever wander away from God and his guiding lights, and we know that we do wander off, but whenever we wander, we can come back to him, confess our sins, and because he is faithful and just, he will forgive us and purify us once again. God's light shines on us, but it's not just shining down on us, it also shines out from us. When we walk in the light, we also reflect the light. This is why we cannot claim to have fellowship with God if we choose to walk in darkness. Because when we have fellowship with God, his light is reflected in us and we become witnesses to him. This doesn't mean we are perfect, because we all know we're not, but it does mean that we are transformed bit by bit to mirror his glory. Walking in God's light means that we are able to witness to those who are walking in the dark. But it also means that we're not alone. If you walk into a pitch black room, you cannot tell if there is anyone there with you. But when we have the light, we can see the other people in the room. When we walk in the light of God, we can see all the other people who are walking with us. We are able to be in fellowship with one another. The false teachings that were affecting the church of John's day were causing divisions and disunity. But John reaffirms that if we claim to know Jesus as Lord, we cannot walk alone, because God has made us a family together, and we walk this journey of faith with all its ups and downs with each other, supporting and helping each other to grow. So to recap, God is light. And this means that he is all goodness, righteousness, and holiness. And so we should get our moral framework from him alone. God is light, and this light is revealing. We cannot deceive God or ourselves by claiming we do not sin, because the light of God reveals what we try to hide in the dark. God is light, and we have access and fellowship with this light through Jesus. God shines his light on us, and we reflect God's light to the world. And as we do so, we walk together with others who walk in the light. So let's pray. God, we thank you for that reminder that you are light and there is no darkness found in you. And Lord, we recognise that you being light means you are the source of all goodness and righteousness. Everything that we enjoy and that is good comes from you. So help us to trust you when you guide us in our lives so that we can walk in your path. And Lord, we recognise that you are light, and so you reveal what is hidden in the dark. God, you know when we have sinned against you. You know what we are trying to hide from others, from ourselves, and from you. But Lord, while we may be able to deceive others and deceive ourselves, we know we can't deceive you. So help us to be honest with you about what dark parts of ourselves there are hiding in us. And Lord, help us to trust and to come to you, to receive your forgiveness, to ask for you to wash us clean. And Lord, we thank you that we have access to you through Jesus. Lord, we are so privileged that you chose to save us because you love us so much. Help us never to take this for granted. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.